Chapter 7 Foggy knew it was laundry day when Matt dragged his overflowing hamper into the hallway and gassed it with Febreze, not just once, but 5 times in 8 minutes. He got it. His dirty socks were affecting Matt's sensitive nose. But he was deep into his weekend reading, and he figured it could wait. 10 minutes passed in relative peace and quiet. Then Matt went next door and came back with a bright yellow lighter and a bottle of lighter fluid, and Foggy figured washing his laundry was better than his roommate burning it. He abandoned his textbook before Matt could set fire to his hamper. He wasn't entirely sure if Matt would actually do it, or if he was just making a point. He didn't wait around to find out. He seized his laundry hamper and dragged it safely out of harm's way, into the hallway, and then all the way down to the laundry room. Every single machine was full, and Foggy stifled a groan. He didn't want to wait around for a machine to become available. The laundry room was already crowded, and he was uncomfortably aware of the stinky socks Matt had tried to neutralize with Febreze. There was absolutely no way that he was taking those clothes back to the dorm room without washing them first. Matt would definitely have something to say about that. So he did the next best thing. He called Theo and had his brother pick him and his laundry up from campus. He had to tolerate a certain amount of ribbing from him. Whether that was a big brother thing or whether it was a Theo thing, he could never tell. Was he a big shot lawyer yet? No. Had he killed his roommate yet? No. What was his roommate like? Foggy refused to answer that question and took to staring out the window instead. What was Matt like? Complicated. Mercifully, Theo put the radio on, which was a welcome distraction even if it did make him sing. He always did that, and not because Foggy was a gifted vocalist either. He was better than Theo though, or maybe just louder and less self-conscious. Whatever the reason, it helped make the trip seem quicker and more fun, and Foggy actually found himself relaxing by the time Theo parked the car in the driveway of their parents' house. A smile tugged at the corners of his mouth as he climbed out of the car and looked at his childhood home for the first time in a month. He'd missed it. It was a feeling that seemed shared by Theo because he did something uncommonly nice and very un-Theo-like and carried his hamper inside for him, setting it down outside the laundry and giving him the kind of weary look that all big brothers seem to have perfected. The look that said, "I'm pretending you're a pain in the ass, but really I kind of like having you around." Foggy shook his head and smiled, dragging his hamper into the laundry. Mom was already in there, mixing up a batch of her homemade laundry powder. Foggy liked hers better than the cheap commercial brand he usually bought. It smelled homier in a way, more natural. "Foggy, I didn't hear you and Theo pull up. How's our big shot lawyer?" Mom asked, drawing him into a motherly embrace. "Lost student," Foggy corrected her automatically. "But one day," she said proudly, if a little teasingly. "Yeah, one day," Foggy mumbled with a doubtful frown. It seemed very far away that day. Franklin Nelson, attorney at law. It sounded quite grown up and very unlike him in all honesty. Theo would probably still be teasing him when he was 40. That would keep him young, he decided, grinning as he started shoving his dirty clothes into the washing machine. "How's it going, really?" Mom asked gently. "It's hard. It's a lot of work. Just keeping up with all the reading is time-consuming. But if Matt can do it, I can do it," Foggy declared, determined as ever. He'd heard lawyers were competitive. "Matt?" Mom repeated curiously. "My roommate." "He's blind," Foggy added helpfully. He paused and bit his lip. He didn't know why he'd said it like that, like Matt's blindness defined him, like that was the only thing he had going on, like he wasn't smart, hardworking, and the most ruthless future lawyer Columbia Law had seen in 15 years. That was what he should have led with, he realized too late. How does that work? Mom asked with a little frown. What? Foggy muttered, shoving the last of his clothes in the washing machine and banging the door shut. Well, how does he get around campus without help? Mom clarified. Something in her tone told Foggy to be careful about what he said next. Well, I'm usually with him and he has a cane. He's fine on his own, Foggy promised, trying to reassure her. But as he scooped up washing powder and put it in the machine, he could tell that his mother was unconvinced. More than that, she was worried about Matt's safety. He hadn't told her yet that Matt had an independent streak 5 miles wide. He probably should have mentioned that. Where is Matt now? Mom asked as Foggy shrugged and played with the buttons on the machine. Studying, I think, he said vaguely. By himself? Mom said tersely. Foggy made the mistake of looking up at her. As any one of his siblings could have told him, looking Mom in the eye was always a crucial error. That was how she got you, those big, kind eyes. She was probably the most well-intentioned person Foggy knew. Her big heart made up for her being a little overbearing, usually. He doesn't need help, Mom, he said quietly. Foggy, I'm all for independence, you know that. But what if he falls and hurts himself when nobody's there? What if he gets lost or there's a fire or... Could you stop? You're kind of freaking me out, Foggy mumbled, his pulse fluttering with nerves. He felt positively ill at the idea that Matt could get hurt while he was off campus doing laundry. Matt had falls sometimes. Or he said he did. Matt was unfairly graceful in a way that made Foggy feel clumsy on occasion. He'd never seen him lose his balance, let alone fall, but he supposed it could happen to anyone. Matt was probably more at risk for that kind of thing, considering he actually couldn't watch where he was going. I'm just saying, maybe we should send someone over there to make sure he's all right, Mom suggested. What? No, Mom, I'm sure he's fine, Foggy insisted. More like pleaded. The thought of what Matt would have to say if his well-meaning, if slightly overprotective mother dropped by the dorm was horrifying. Foggy's family had embarrassed him on numerous occasions, but there was a difference between telling the tricycle story for the umpteenth time and attempting to babysit his college roommate. It wasn't happening. No way in hell. Okay. I will text Matt while you work on not looking at me like I've done something terrible, Foggy mumbled, slipping his cell phone out of his pocket. You have to think about these things, Foggy, Mom said imploringly. He's fine. He's always fine, Foggy mumbled as he typed out a quick message to Matt. Except that Matt wasn't always fine. During the fire evacuation only a week or so ago, he hadn't been fine. What if his mom was right? What if he shouldn't have left Matt alone? 8 or 9 minutes passed without a reply from his roommate, and then Foggy gave in and called Matt. The call rolled straight to voicemail, though, and Foggy tried not to think the worst. He's just out for a walk or in the shower, he suggested feebly. And what if he slips and falls while he's in there? Are you going to pick him up off the floor or call an ambulance if he needs one? Mom asked, giving him a doubtful look. Mom, call campus security and ask them to check on him. Better safe than sorry, Mom insisted, as Foggy weighed the phone in his hand, feeling uncertain. A full 40 seconds passed in torturous anxiety before he gave in. If Matt was fine, he'd give him hell about it. But if he wasn't, Foggy just couldn't take that risk. He reluctantly dialed the campus security office, certain that whatever happened next, he was going to regret it. End chapter 7.